The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a wonderful Wednesday morning. Wanted to read to you from Isaiah chapter 55, beginning in verse 6. It says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." The ways of God. You've heard it said, strange are the ways of God. And, you know, no man can figure out why God does what he does because things happen in real time as we live life. And we say, "Lord, I don't understand this." I've often gone back to Acts chapter 12 in my mind, where James was killed by Herod and Peter was let out of prison. And it probably was baffling to James's wife why God didn't deliver James, but he did deliver Peter. Stephen was such a powerhouse of a preacher, and yet he was stoned to death in Acts chapter 7. Lord, why did you do it that way? So we don't know, why God does what he does. We say with Job many times when things happen that we don't like, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." Well, that's the backdrop for what I want to talk about today with my friend, Dr. Tom Askell. Dr. Tom Askell is pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. He's been there since June of 1986. So this coming June, Tom will celebrate 40 years as pastor. He's the president of Founders Ministries and of Founders Seminary. And he was a best of friends with Vody Bachum. So, Dr. Tom, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you so much, brother. It's good to be back with you today.
Well, I know this has been a really, really hard time for you, Tom, and I appreciate you coming on today. As I said, strange are the ways of God. I know you had a big plan with Vody and your dear, dear friend, and that changed all in a heartbeat on September 25th. So can you just kind of walk us through what happened and what's been happening?
Yeah. I mean, it obviously is tragic from our point of view and completely unexpected. Vody has had health difficulties for several years. You may remember, others may remember back, I think it was in 2022 when, or maybe 2021, I forget. It was the year of the big freeze. And he had heart difficulties there, nearly killed him. He, by God's grace, was able to get back from Lusaka, Zambia, to the Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, Florida, just in the nick of time. I've talked to doctors there who said that, you know, 30 minutes later from the moment he actually got to that medical facility, that it would have been too late. And they were able to get involved in what was going on with his heart at the time. He had several heart procedures, including major open heart surgery. And they've been monitoring him very, very carefully since then. Now, complicating factors is Vody has had kidney disease for many, many years. And so when this happened on the 25th of September, people immediately speculated and thought, well, gosh, it must have been something with his heart. That turns out not to be the case. I spoke with one of his surgeons there at Mayo, and they said they went back over his file very, very carefully once this happened. and they're convinced that they didn't miss anything. This seems to have been something that happened to him in an immediate way that created a stroke of sorts, or that just took him out almost instantaneously. He wasn't doing anything exerting. He was in Dallas with his family. They had taken a few days to be with extended family there. And he and Bridget were actually just, you know, resting. They were sitting watching a movie. Wow. And just instantly died. And medics came, EMTs, and they did what they could before the EMTs got there. But it was pretty evident that he did not last long from that. So very traumatic, very sad, very unanticipated by anybody. Mm-hmm. And we had great plans. You know, we had just, that was 5 days after our convocation, the first convocation for Founders Seminary mm-hmm. that we started here in Cape Coral, Florida. And Bodie was the founding president of that, something that I was super proud of and that he was so grateful to be a part of. We spent a lot of time talking Sunday morning. He preached his first and last sermon in Grace Baptist Church that Sunday morning as a member of Grace. He kept saying, man, I finally get to preach in my church, in my church. He's preached here before as a guest, but never as a member. And everything just looked good. We spent some time Monday. We had a lot of work to do for the seminary, did some recording, you know, had some long-range plans that we were making. And again, he was so happy. He said, I felt like I've come full circle in my life, and this is what God has intended for me to get to all my life. And and then a few days later, he's gone. So we propose, God disposes, and we say, you know, if the Lord wills. And this, as you said, brother, it's kind of a mysterious providence of what God has done, when and why, but we trust him, and the things he's taught us about himself are still true. So we have no reason to doubt his goodness, his wisdom, his power, and we just have to bow to him and know that he's working for our good and his glory.
Tom, you know, we had three heroes of the faith, John MacArthur and Bodie Bauckham, and then Charlie Kirk in a different lane, but still powerful, very, very powerful. All get taken around the same time. And that left a lot of people scratching their heads saying, what is God doing here? Obviously, the Lord knows exactly what he's doing. He doesn't consult with us before he does what he does. But boy, from our perspective, it's really hard to understand. So what do you say, Tom, to the people that are hurting, and the seminary students and others that don't understand why would the Lord do this?
Yeah, well, he's God and we're not, and this is just a reminder. His ways are above ours. Yeah. His thoughts are above ours, and we have to bow to that. These kinds of events bring us very quickly to the end of ourselves. We see our limitations in ways that we don't see as clearly at other times when things are going well. And God just shows us how weak we are, how dependent we are. And he's done these kinds of things throughout history. Gideon needed to defeat the Midianites. And what did the Lord do? He just kept whittling down his army. Why? So that when the victory was accomplished, nobody could claim that it was due to Gideon's wisdom or might or power. It was going to be God. And I see that same, I see this incident in the same light as that you know, God's not going to share his glory with anybody. And I'm not suggesting that at all that Bodie was seeking glory for himself. I mean, I learned well enough to know that wasn't the case. Decisions he made, and even coming here, you know, if he'd been seeking glory for himself, there were a lot easier pathways for him to pursue than to be a part of a startup seminary with very little funds. And, you know, we're having to just kind of go by faith day by day. But he did. He came here. But I think removing those great men, you know, John MacArthur, Charlie Kirk, Bodie Bauckham, the kingdom of God goes on. Mm-hmm. All of us are dispensable. David served the purposes of God in his generation. Mm-hmm. Then he died. Yeah. And that's going to be true for all of us. We will do exactly what God has for us to do as long as he has for us to do it. And so we need to be good stewards while we have life and breath today. But no, our lives are in his hands, and his kingdom is not dependent upon us. We have the privilege of being involved in it for a short period of time, and we ought to do our best. So it's the things that I've said to our students, we gather them very quickly and talk to them. And of course, the church, you know, here's was just very, very sad as well. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, Paul talks about how our outer man is wasting away, but the inner man's being renewed day by day. Mm-hmm. And these light momentary afflictions are working for us an eternal weight of glory as we look, not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. Things that are seen are temporary. Things that are unseen are eternal. Well, Vodi, as dear as he was, dear friend, husband, father, mm-hmm. grandfather, servant of the Lord, he was temporary. And the unseen realities of God's goodness and wisdom and sovereignty, of the righteousness and the atonement of Jesus, of his intercession for us, the promise of his return, all of those things are unseen. We can only lay hold of them by faith, but they're eternal. They'll never change. It'll never leave us short, because what God has promised he will do, he's going to do. And we, by faith, have to begin to depend more and more on those unseen realities than we do on the seen realities.
Yeah. Well, we're talking to Dr. Tom Askell. We're talking about the great Vodi Bakum, who is now with the Lord. Vodi Bakum Jr. died on September 25th, 56 years old, the husband of one wife, Bridget, and the father of nine children. How many grandkids, Tom?
Three grandkids, three.
So his children ranged in age from what to what?
Oh, my, I'm not sure. He and Bridget had two children pretty quickly, and the daughter of their biological daughter is the one that has three kids, and I'm not real sure how old she is. She's the same age as some of my oldest kids, so I would say, you know, late 30s would be her age range. She lives in Mississippi with her husband, and then their son lives in Louisiana, and then they adopted seven children, and those children are still at home. Yeah, and the oldest of the ones still at home is about to graduate, God willing, this year from Liberty, or next spring from Liberty, and he's 21, and then they go down from there till I think the youngest is about 11 or maybe 12.
Well, Tom, let me ask you personally, because he was such a dear friend and such a part of your ministry, and especially the seminary. I mean, he was the president. You deal with the grief of just the loss of a dear brother in the Lord, but then you have the pressure of, now what do I do with the seminary we just launched?
Yeah, it's been a challenge, but the Lord has been faithful. He's drawn near, and he's helped quite a bit. You know, so I don't second guess God. He's delivered me from that temptation. I'm grateful. He's helped me to just keep focusing on those unseen realities. But it has created quite a challenge that I wasn't anticipating at this stage. Vodi and I had long talked about and looked forward to the day when we could work together. And it's something we've talked about off and on for years. And then last year, when the things began to come together rather quickly, and there were starts and stops, and there were some plans that we had made, or he had made, that fell through. And I mean, just, and then God did it. You know, God did it earlier this year, where it was evident, and they moved here in April. We were just excited about the future, and I wanted him to be the president. In the convocation that we had just 5 days before he died, I introduced him. He spoke. He gave the convocation address, and it was brilliant. It was wonderful. And when I introduced him, it was just a kind of the culmination of a lot of years of relationship with Vodi. And I was able just to say true things, you know. Mm-hmm. It wasn't flattery. It's just reality of how God built him. Our seminary, whenever we started planning this seminary, and Vodi wasn't even in the picture whenever these plans came to fruition. I mean, when we decided, we made the decision a little over a year ago to start Founders Seminary. So it was October of 2024. it was no more than 2 weeks after that, Vody actually reached out to me, said, "Brother, you'll never believe what's happened. I've got a cash offer on my house here in Lusaka, so we're going to sell. We'll have enough money to move to buy a house in Cape Coral," because it was a good deal, but they had to be out by December 1st. And so he's telling me all this very excitedly. I said, "Well, you'll never believe what we're doing, man."
Yeah.
I said,
"Hey,
we're about to start a seminary, won't you?"
Tom, hold that thought, because we're up against a break. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, talking to Dr. Tom Askell. We're talking about the passing of Vody Bakum. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, talking to my good friend, Dr. Tom Askell, and we're talking about Vody Bakum Jr., one of the greatest preachers of our generation, I believe, Tom. We were talking just off air. Vody had the intellectual knowledge. His mind worked in those circles, high level. He had the spiritual depth and dimension. He had a great family. And he had the ability to just slam it out of the park. I mean, he was a great, great preacher. You know, I've likened some guys are, you know, base hit preachers, and they're solid and their information is solid. But then some guys are just, they're in that fourth batter's box slot, and they can just slam it out. And that's the way Vody was.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, he was put together in unique ways by God, and was a great gift to the church, because he was an incredible orator. And as you said, a really good thinker. I mean, Vody saw things way before I did, and before most of the people in my circle did, in terms of some of the issues that the evangelical church has had to deal with the last 10 to 15 years. You know, he was out there speaking against the common narrative of Michael Brown and George Floyd. And when President Obama was elected, he said, "This is going to be horrific for race relationships." And everybody else is praising God, "We have an African-American president." And Vody said, no. He just saw things, and then gifted with the ability to say things in a memorable way. God put him together very uniquely, and there's nobody else like him that we have today.
No, there really is not. Well, thinking about him and the fact that he did see things that others didn't see coming down the pike, Fault Lines was a great book. And with the rise of socialism in America, with Mam Dhamani being elected as the mayor of New York, a socialist Muslim, and we've been talking about this on the radio this week. Between those two things, especially in his election as mayor, being a socialist and being a Muslim, which do you see as the greater danger?
Well, sadly, those are walking hand in hand more and more in our day, but I would say being a Muslim. You know, I think he is a true Islamist. And some of the things that have come out of his mouth, it's not hard to find. You can find it. When he first came over to the United States, or even before now, some of those things that he's written and said are coming to light. This man intends to make New York City and the United States a new caliphate. He has no hesitations in declaring that he's a Muslim and he wants Islam to prevail. And I think that a lot of Christians and broader than that, Americans, are naive to think that we are back where we were 40, 50, 60 years ago and can just kind of rock along in a pluralistic society and kind of live and let live. Those days are gone, if they ever were here exactly, or certainly never good. And we've got to realize what we're up against and stand firm and renounce that.
So, Tom, if I had Tim Lee on the program yesterday for Veterans Day, and we were talking about America, and I said, "So, Tim, if you pull out your crystal ball and look at America 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, what do you see?" So, I'm going to ask you that same question. What do you see, Tom?
Well, I see President Trump's administration as a reprieve. You know, it's not an answer. It's an opportunity. And I'm fearful that too many of people who should know better are not seeing it that way and are fighting against it. I mean, this is crazy to me, because Trump's got flaws like anyone does. They want to dismiss him and what he's trying to do, what his administration's trying to do. And he's being handicapped by some who are very close to him, which is tragic. So I think, short of revival, that we've got some more difficult days in front of us. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that God's people are hungry enough for revival yet. You know, our church, for the last 2.5 years or longer, we've been giving a day a month to prayer and fasting for revival. And those have been sweet times of prayer. And though it's been on our minds and hearts, you know, sometimes I feel like those prayers are just dead, you know, in my own soul. It's like, yeah, I know I need to do this, but I don't see myself being hung over the pit, and my children and grandchildren and this nation being hung over the pit, that if I did see it the right way, would cause me to be desperate.
So
I'm praying God will give us that, because short of that, I don't think we've got the political will to do what needs to be done in this country. I've thought about this on different levels. We could not do what was done in World War II. We don't have the people to go. We don't have that kind of generation again. Nor, if we were given a blank slate and just told, okay, now you can start a nation any way you want to, we could not start the United States of America. We couldn't do it, because we don't have the kind of moral, spiritual depth and fortitude that those on whose shoulders we stand had when they started this country.
I totally agree. Tim and I were talking about this yesterday, Tom. Just the run-of-the-mill citizen back when the country was founded, people were educated. People knew things. I mean, the founding fathers were smart. And they were well studied. They may not all have been Christians, but they knew the scriptures. The Ben Franklin, hey, Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain that build it. We don't have people like that today. And we definitely don't have, when you talk about Mamdani being elected and people are voting for him thinking that it's novel or fun, it's like, this guy is going to do such damage that you're as Netanyahu said, queers for Palestine is chickens for KFC. You're voting for people that will kill you, and we don't even see it. That's mind blowing to me.
Yeah, same with me. I remember, I forget which psalm it is, where the Lord's recounting what happened to the Israelites in the wilderness, that he gave them the desires of their hearts, but sent leanness to their souls. And I think that we are witnessing some of that in our day. And again, there's no political answer to this. There's no sociological answer. It's got to come from above. God alone can come and rescue. And whether he will or not, I don't know. He did it for Assyria, Nineveh. But he didn't do it for other countries. So we'll see what the Lord does. But as God's people, we need to pray. We need to pray. We need to stand firm. We need to preach. We need to be unashamed about the Lordship of Christ and be what he's called us to be as faithful Christians, knowing that our help comes from the Lord. And without him, we're nothing.
Well, Tom, I totally agree with you. I think Trump's presidency was an answer to prayer. I think it is a reprieve. If nothing else, he has a strong sense of law and order, of what is right for the country, what is wrong for the country, and he's implementing those things. And those things are good for Americans. You have all these people that hate the phrase "Make America Great Again." Well, when was America great? I said, well, can't we all agree to, let's just make America great? We can leave off the "again." I mean, what's wrong with making America great? I think that the rise of Islam in America is a major, major issue, and that's something that's definitely going to bite us if we don't stand up and beat it down, for a lack of a better term.
No, I agree. You look at Dearborn, Michigan, what's happening there. Look what they're trying to do outside of Dallas with this epic city, which it seems like it's got a little bit of a bump in the road now. The true faithful Muslims, they are not shy and they're not subtle, they're not nuanced about what they want to see happen. And if we sit back and say, oh, no, you know, everybody gets a fair place at the table, and so we just need to be quiet, let that happen, then we will hand over this nation and the blessings of this nation to godless, demon-worshipping people who will destroy it. Mm-hmm. And I make America great again. Compare America. When people say America's never been great, compared to what? Compared to heaven? Okay.
Right.
Compared to Haiti? Yeah, pretty good. You know, I think you start comparing America to other nations of the world. And if you haven't been out of the country, go to some communist countries. Spend a little time and see. I've come back from those countries praising God for the blessings that he's bestowed upon this nation, not because we're perfect, but because in this fallen world, he has done things here that the rest of the world looks at with wonder and awe and longing.
Well, amen to that. Let me switch gears on you, Tom, in the time we have remaining. The Southern Baptist Convention coming up in June in Orlando. I had Willie Rice on the program last week. I know he's somebody that he had told me you personally encouraged him to put his name in the hat. What do you think about the convention upcoming and the future of the SBC?
Well, and it's almost a similar kind of parallel way of thinking about our nation. I do think Willie would be a tremendous, tremendous leader because God has taught him things. You know, Willie was not seeing things today, or 5 years ago, the way he does today.
Yes.
God's taught him. So he was right in the middle of a lot of the problems of the SBC, blinded to them. But now God's opened his eyes by his own admission. He's a humble man. I appreciate the fact that he has publicly repented. That's something that seems like so many SBC leaders are incapable of doing. And Willie has shown the way. We have a gospel. We have a Savior. We don't have to be ashamed of our mistakes because Christ died for our sins. So if Willie is elected, I believe that there will be a major step forward in us having opportunity to correct some of the problems. If he's not elected, if the forces on the other side get their guy in, then I think we'll just keep going further down the road of a bad destination. You know what? I think Clint Presley's done a good job. Clint's definitely been the best president we've had in the last maybe decade or more, and I'm grateful for him. But we need somebody like Willie, who's not just going to stop the bleed, but going to start working to produce health in what is our denomination, our convention of churches, and all of our agencies and institutions. And I believe under God's provision and guidance, he can do that.
Tom, there seems to be such a reluctance on the part of the SBC leadership entity heads to be transparent. We keep asking and asking as the churches that fund everything. I mean, they don't get money unless the local church is giving it to them. But they don't want to be transparent. And so if you try and get in the mind of one of these guys, this isn't rocket science. That's what the churches are asking for. Why do they refuse?
Boy, that's a great question. I don't know. I want to believe the best. You know, I don't think they're just evil people. I really don't. But I think they're naive and they don't understand what time it is. Some of them, I believe, think we're still living 50 years ago where there was such a high level of trust. You know, just trust us. I mean, this was Jeff Yorge trying to explain the lack of funding and the way things are going in the convention. And it's just expressive individualism. That's the problem. No, it's not the problem. It's leaders like him who refuse to be open and honest. Jeff has said privately, for example, with Mike Stone and the dishonor and injustice that was done to him years ago, he's told Mike, hey, that video exists that exonerates you, but we're not going to release it because our lawyers have told us it will put us at liability. What is that? What kind of standard are we going to appeal to now?
Right.
What our lawyers say or what the Word of God says? We just need men with backbone. We need men who fear God more than they fear men leading us. I think Willie Rice is that kind of man.
Yeah, I do too. And, you know, Willie, we talked about the fact that, you know, nonprofits have to fill out a 990. I mean, Founders Ministry, Founders Seminary, you have to do that. That shows what you're paying the principals in the organization.
Right.
We don't do that at the Southern Baptist level and Southern Baptist entities. And he said, well, I'm going to ask for those things. And supposedly they tell us the trustees know that. He said, I've interviewed trustees. They don't know that. They're not given that information. And, you know, I realize, and Tom, you know, as a pastor for so many years, you realize that you don't want to broadcast all the personnel matters and things like that. But there are certain things that people want to know, and people that are funding it have a right to know.
Absolutely. I mean, it's probably this way in your church, in our church. Anybody, any member of this church that wants to know where every penny goes has a right to that. And we keep those records. We don't report that every member's meeting because it would just take too much time and it's in the weeds and it's not that significant. But anybody has the right to know where every dime goes that is given through the ministry of this church. And that ought to be true for the SBC as well. Not that, you know, everybody has to publicize it, but our trustee system's broken. The trustees don't understand, by and large, their job. I've talked to executive members of executive trustee boards on NAM, for example. One of them told me we had to sign a non-disclosure agreement and we were given like 15 minutes to look over the financials. He said, and I didn't know what I was looking at. Yeah, I mean, we're pastors of churches. You're talking about a multi-million or maybe hundreds of millions of dollar entity. He said, but we had to sign this statement saying we wouldn't talk about it, wouldn't reveal anything, and then give them just a limited time to look it over. I mean, that's atrocious.
Yeah, it really is. Well, Tom, just in the last minute that we have, how can people best be praying for you and for the church and the seminary going forward?
Yeah. Thank you so much for asking. Please pray that God will help us to steward the opportunity we have. We've got more students that are applying. I mean, it's amazing. We've got 30 that are here now, and I think there's an additional 15 to 20 planning to be here in the spring, which is more than we ever anticipated. We need financial help, so pray that God would give us favor with those whom He's blessed financially, that they'd be willing to invest in this ministry, and that we would be true to that which we say we are and which we say we want to do in trying to train students with sharp minds, warm hearts, and steel spines. And pray for the church that we could continue to preach Jesus, make disciples here in Southwest Florida and throughout the world.
Amen. Well, Tom, thank you for coming on today. It's always a pleasure, my friend. And I know you're going to be rooting for the Horns at Thanksgiving. So Tom is wearing his Texas A&M shirt today.
Oh, that's just a coincidence, Jeff.
Representing. Well, thanks, Tom. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We'll be right back after the break. Don't go away.
This June marks 3 years since the overturn of Roe, but did you know that since then, the number of abortions has surged to a 10-year high? Preborn Network clinics continue to support women facing unplanned pregnancies, showering them with God's love and providing free ultrasounds. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she's twice as likely to choose life.
It was like the beginning of my healing journey. They do an ultrasound. That's when everything changed. When I saw my baby and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
$28 sponsors one ultrasound and $140 helps to rescue five babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation also helps to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. Wanted to read to you from Acts chapter 4, one of the great, great prayers of the Bible, where the apostles prayed, "And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence while you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. God has called us to be bold and faithful witnesses, to shine and to share. And we are entering into Christmas time. Jenna Ellis likes to say Christmas time starts at November 1st and goes through the end of the year. Well, the Thanksgiving advocates would take issue with that, but Jenna sent me some pictures of her house. She's already got it all decorated. It looks great for Christmas. But our guest in the studio today is Pastor Jerry Lawson, and Pastor Jerry Lawson has a program, a plan and a program the American Family Association and American Family Radio has gotten behind for years now, and that's with Christmas buttons to go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere, go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. So, Pastor Jerry, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff, and how are you doing today?
I am doing well. You are a favorite of mine, Jerry, because you have a boldness about you, and you're not ashamed to let people know that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I love the fact that you encourage others in a way that they can do it with Christmas buttons. So tell us about the history of that and how people can get involved in wearing a button to be a witness for Jesus.
Well, I guess about 20 years ago, Don Weilerman started this button ministry when there was this war on Christmas. And you know, Jesus says, if I be lifted up, I draw all men unto me. And I was asking myself the question, how can I lift up Jesus? And I want to do it in a non-threatening way to people. And the Lord led me to these buttons. And this year, I have worn one of my AFA buttons every day this year, and there's hardly a day goes by somebody doesn't say to me, Brother Lawson, I wish I had a button like that. I've got the buttons, and I give the buttons out. But it has been a joy for me to use the buttons to lift Jesus up and exalt him and to talk to a number of people about their salvation.
Amen. Okay, so you're wearing a button now. Those that are listening on the radio, they can't see, obviously. But tell me what your button says, Jerry.
Well, it has Jesus at the top, and it says, Our Joy for All Eternity. And then it has a picture of the manger scene on it. It is kind of an amber-type button with gold print on it, and it has Mary and Joseph in the manger, and it's a beautiful button. It's the first button it's the newest button we've had, and this is the first one in the last 5 years that we put out a new button.
All right, so I know we talked about this, I think, last year, last Christmas time, just wearing the button, not doing anything else, but just wearing the button creates conversations, witnessing opportunities, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. And we live in a day when I call it permission marketing. When somebody asks me about my button, that gives me permission to talk to them about Jesus Christ. They're the ones that approach me. I'm not the one trying to hit them upside the head with a King James Bible.
Well, tell us about some of those experiences, Jerry, that you've had just by wearing the button.
My beautiful, loving wife for the past 48 years, I grow peaches. She makes the best peach pie, and we take them to shut-ins. And this past week, I went to the home of a shut-in to take a meal, and when I went in to see her, there was a healthcare worker that was there. And this black lady looked at me, and she said, Brother Lawson, I sure wished I had one of those buttons. And I wear a shirt with a pocket, and I have a magnet on the inside that magnetizes the bucket. And I just popped the button off and handed it to her, and I said, it's yours. Mm-hmm. And she looked at that, and she gave me a hug, and she said, Sunday, when I go to church, I'm going to tell our elders and deacons, get online and order some of these buttons. And these buttons to me are just a drop of joy in a, you know, otherwise cesspool of life.
There you go. Okay, so you wear one every time you go out in public?
I wear one every day this year, the Lenten button or the Christmas button.
Amen. Okay, so tell our listeners how they can get theirs.
Well, I don't have that information with me, but it says on the bottom of the button that you can go to www.afa.net and get online, and you can go right to the Resource Center.
Yeah. So I'm looking at one now on the Resource Center at afa.net. So Jesus, Our Joy for All Eternity, and let's see, there are some other ones in there, are they not, Jerry?
Yes, sir. There's a number of different buttons in there.
Okay. Our Living Hope.
You can go, and the Resource Center will they can give you a whole display of the buttons.
Yeah. Amen. So you've been partnering with American Family Association for how long, Jerry?
Well, in the button ministry, probably about 20 years, but I became associated with this ministry probably 30 years ago, and I've certainly been inspired by the life that Don Wallerman lived, and this cultural warrior and the fight that he has fought for decency in America.
Mm-hmm. So if a listener out there says, well, I can wear a button, but, I'm not prepared if people start asking me a lot of questions or if I'm confronted about things, you know, people in our day and age get easily offended and triggered. Have you had some confrontations with people that were, adversarial toward you wearing a button?
No, I haven't. I've had one or two people that have said, well, I don't believe in that stuff. And I tell them, I understand, but one day you will believe in this stuff.
Right. Yeah, that's for sure. There are no atheists in hell. When a famous atheist dies, you can rest assured, well, he's not an atheist anymore. The devil is not an atheist. He knows that God is real and God exists. Well, Jerry, what would be your encouragement to our listeners to go online and get a pack of buttons?
If you have a desire to wear this button, the Lord will lead people to you that you can speak to. His Spirit is going to work through you. God is not going to do anything to cause you to be a failure. And I have faith that whoever comes up to me, the Lord has led them to me, and he will equip me with what to say. It's that step of faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I was in seminary, Jerry, Paige Patterson was the president of Southeastern Seminary when I was there, and he encouraged us to pray these three things every day. Number one, Lord, give me an opportunity today to talk to somebody about Jesus. Number two, Lord, when that opportunity arises, help me to be sensitive and cognizant of it. This is the opportunity that I prayed for. And then number three, help me not to chicken out. You know, because
I like that.
Yeah. And really, if we will take that to heart and say, okay, I can pray that every day and it doesn't take long. And then ask the Lord to be sensitive. And what Paige said to, this was to all the students, it wasn't just to me, but he said, you'll be amazed if you pray that prayer from your heart and really mean it. God will bring people across your path that he wants you to talk to, because that's our purpose for being here, is to be his witnesses. And so, Jerry, in your own life, would you say your spiritual gift is evangelism?
Well, the Lord has given me a passion for people, and I have been richly blessed, and it is through his glorification that it confirms his presence in my life, and that's the joy and the hope that I have as I go from day to day. I meet so many people that just have no hope, no encouragement, and they have no Savior.
Yeah. Well, that's the world without Jesus. And so we
Absolutely.
Have an opportunity. We yes. rub shoulders with him every day. You know, Jerry, I go back to that scripture I read at the beginning of this segment in Acts chapter 4. Lord, grant your servants boldness. And I think that is the prayer that God longs to answer, because the answer to them came immediately as the place was shaken and they were mm-hmm. all filled with boldness. And so, Jerry, what could you say to encourage a listener today that just says, man, I'm just nervous to enter into a conversation. I don't know what to say, and I just feel ill-equipped, and so maybe I'll just leave that for the professionals like Jerry.
Well, this morning when we had our devotion here at AFA, I quoted one verse coming from Proverbs 11:25. He who brings a blessing will be blessed, and he who waters will be watered. If you have a desire to be a blessing for someone else in the name of Jesus Christ, God will give you the courage and the words to say, and you'll be amazed how giving that blessing away blesses you. It fills you with joy.
Amen. Amen. Well, I appreciate it, my brother. Thank you for coming on today, and I appreciate your zeal for wearing these buttons and sharing Christ, and it's something that we all can do. So I just want to challenge our listeners, as I challenge myself. Hey, this Christmas season, people, you know, Jerry, we talk about Christmas is Jesus is the reason for the season, and Christmas time is a different time in people's minds and hearts. They're a lot more open to spiritual things at Christmas time. So it is a great opportunity to take advantage of that situation to tell people about Jesus. And so you wear a button, you said you've been wearing it all throughout the year?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so do you specifically notice a difference around Christmas time that there's more, maybe more interaction with the buttons?
Pastor Jeff, ever since I've been wearing my button every day this year, there are people in my community, they put their button on and they feel a little bit more emboldened to wear that button. And you cannot reflect Jesus Christ in your life too much.
Yes, that's exactly right. I heard somebody, there's somebody that's trying to be a Joe Rogan type of podcaster, a liberal Charlie Kirk type person, and I was talking about religious addicts and how we're such a danger to our country and to society because we're addicted to Jesus. You know, I still remember a line, Jerry, that I saw. I was at a hotel somewhere where Debbie and I were speaking at a marriage conference, and it was Jack LaLanne, and he was hawking a juicer. Remember when he had all those commercials for juicers? Mm-hmm. And he said to the lady who was interviewing him, he said, if you found something that totally changed your life, wouldn't you be excited about it? And I thought, he's talking about a juicer. Well, for every Christian, we've found, you know, as it says in the Gospel of John, we found him who is King of the Jews, who is the Messiah.
Right.
How can we not be excited about him?
Well, these people that do not know the Lord, I guess it's Psalms 37, fret not for evildoers. When you look at all of the evil in the world and the negative things that are being said, it's very easy to cause you to fret and get discouraged. I don't pay any attention to them. I want to be a light in the community where the Lord has placed me. I want to make a difference in the life of other people. And when you see the good things that's going on in my community, it's being done by those people who have a love for Jesus Christ.
Amen to that. Well, thank you, Jerry, for being my guest today. And, you know, I just want to encourage you who might be more shy and reserved, think about it in these terms. So if you were living during the days of Noah, Noah knew the flood was coming. He knew judgment was coming, and he knew the only deliverance was this ark, this vessel. And so he would just point the way to the ark. Now, people didn't take him up on it, but that wasn't his fault. That was their fault. And
yes.
So we're called to be watchmen on the wall, and we're called to sound the alarm, and we speak the truth in love. But if people don't respond to it, that's not on us. That's on them. What's on us is to make sure that we sound the alarm and we let people know, hey, judgment is coming, but there is salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, and
Amen.
You can put your faith and trust in him today. So, Jerry, just as we close out, can you pray a quick prayer for us and for our listeners?
Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the day and the gift of life in this button ministry. Pastor Jeff, I may not see him in person down here in this world, but in the world to come, we'll spend an eternity together, Father, worshiping and glorifying you. Father, just thank you for this day and the gift of life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, go out today, shine for Christ. Great things the Lord has done for you, and put on a button. Go to AFR.net to resources and get a pack of buttons and wear them this Christmas and hand them out to other people and let them know that Jesus Christ did come into this world. He did die on a cross. He did rise again on the third day, and he will save anybody who will put his faith and trust in him. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.